So let's start, as we often do with the practice. And I was thinking, you know, we have these more directed cultivation practices we've been working with, loving kindness and Tonglen. But it's also noteworthy to me that in the book, Norman doesn't make a big deal about those. I mean, he mentions the Tonglen when we get to the section on it, but doesn't give a lot of instructions. Instead, at the end of the book, he gives instructions for basic Zen meditation. And the idea being not to be careful that we not undervalue the power of just simple awareness, of just presence, you know, just letting go of our usual way of looking at things. And that we kind of have these two frameworks here that are in some relationship. The conventional framework of the relative world with its problems and solutions and stuff to do, you know, very real. We're in the middle of it all the time. But then also this Buddhism, you know, Mahayana Buddhism is pointing to a bigger possibility, sort of beyond that, right? Absolute compassion, emptiness. Norman's talked about it a couple of different ways. I was trying to talk about it last week. And so there's a little bit of a danger here that we could see something like, you know, a powerful meditation practice like Tonglen or like loving kindness only from this kind of relative problem-solving framework, you know, which is great. And then stuff's useful. You know, that's the stuff that, you know, we can research and it does help. But there's a bigger vision available. So there's some advantage to doing practice that doesn't have an obvious like outcome, you know, and we can say stuff about a really simple grounding practice, you know, like it's grounding, you know. But Norman, with us, Norman used to say, you know what the great thing about Zen meditation is? Did I tell you this before? I might have. He said, the great thing about it is that it's useless. We'd be like, why? You know, why are we doing it? You know. But he means by that useless in, you know, a good way, you know, that useless has a bad name because we tend to exist only in the frame of utility and getting stuff done and tools and projects and outcomes and evidence-based this, that, and the other, you know. Again, that's all valid, but a little limited. So it's a beautiful thing to invest ourselves in things that don't have obvious utility, but there's a feeling to it, right? And so it kind of gets us out of our head and a little more into a feeling of, wow, this is important. I can't explain it. I don't get it, you know, but there's something to this. You know what I mean? So probably you do, or you wouldn't have persisted with all this. Cause I think, you know, mindfulness and the classes and stuff, they work great within the relative world frame. But I think to really persist with them through thick and thin and up and down and periods when it seems like it's, you know, not working or you can't do it, you know, you have to, I think, in the end, develop some degree of trust in something a little beyond, you know, the normal way of thinking. So let's do a little kind of stretch in place. Come and ask us to sit for a while. And then I thought we'd do kind of the modern mindfulness analog. Oh, stiff. Of Zen meditation, which might be like an open awareness meditation, where the goal isn't to like stay grounded on any one particular object or successfully do this, that, or the other. The goal is just to be present, you know, open, aware, non-reactive, you know, and there's something inherently reactive about normal life, right? We're solving problems and reacting, responding to things, you know. So this is even like non-responsive in a good way, right? Non-responsive sounds horrible. I feel like a coma, you know, right? So this is like a positive non-responsive, like a letting go of needing to respond, you know, just allowing, kind of radical allowing. So maybe give yourself a little moment to think how you want to settle into your seat. I'm going to invite us to do a little bit longer sit. As I said, maybe it'll be 35 or 40 minutes or something like that, which on the one hand is plenty of time to settle into these kind of more subtle practices. On the other hand, also plenty of time to feel baffled or frustrated or like it's, you know, not working and notice that you're kind of stuck in that frame, you know, and then just work with that, you know, work with letting that go. I'll try to give some helpful suggestions, you know. And notice now, you know, if you, I mean, we have all different relationships amongst the 25 of us here to meditation. So just notice if your mind's making a prediction. You know, it might be making the prediction if you feel relatively comfortable with a longer meditation. Oh, good. You know, that's going to be nice. And it could also be making the opposite prediction, right? Like, oh, I can't do that. No, that's hard. This is going to be miserable. Why is he doing this? Right? So these are predictions. So we don't know what's going to happen. You know, predictions are only even really meaningful in this sort of relative world of problems and solutions. You know, in the absolute world, there's nothing to predict. You know, and no one who needs to do the predicting. So anyway, before I just tangle us up in words too much, let's